welcome to the April 22nd edition of This Week in Virtualization, the weekly news podcast from SearchServerVirtualization.com. This Week in Virtualization, we discuss third-party support for Hyper-V, VMware's new cloud offering, and more. I'm Senior Site Editor Colin Steele.
And I'm Associate Editor Keith Kessinger.
Our guest this week is Greg Shields, a partner at Concentrated Technology and member of our Server Virtualization Advisory Board. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Thank you.
Greg, when the Hyper-V versus VMware debate comes up, one of the big arguments that the VMware people make is that vSphere has all these third-party vendors that make additional tools for things like management, monitoring, backup. And when Hyper-V first came out, Microsoft people could say, oh, you know, Hyper-V will get that support over time. And some ISVs now do offer Hyper-V support, like Veeam has a monitoring tool that integrates with System Center to monitor VMware and Hyper-V together. And the traditional systems management vendors offer varying levels of Hyper-V support. I know CA, for one, has a couple different tools designed specifically for Hyper-V. But you know, overall, it's been nearly 3 years since the first version of Hyper-V came out, and there have been two major updates since then, R2 and R2 SP1, which just came out recently. And Microsoft still trails VMware by pretty far in the area of third-party support. Why do you think that is, and do you think that it will ever change?
Oh, you know, absolutely it will. I mean, this is a long-running story, and it's been running for a long time, and it's going to continue to run for a long period of time, too. Admittedly, you know, Hyper-V has really only had maybe two of those three updates, because the SP1 update is so new at this point that it's hard to see how that's going to impact the industry. We are seeing a number of new entrants into the third-party ecosystem for Hyper-V support. I mean, VisionCore has a vControl. vKernel is kind of doing some things with their capacity analyzer. Aperture's got Replay that works well with Hyper-V, and SteelEye and DoubleTake both have, you know, high availability stuff for Hyper-V. Then there are other ones out there as well. So we are still kind of seeing a growth in that third-party ecosystem. So the more that Hyper-V gets around and the more that market share that it ends up capturing, the more that many of these companies are going to make the investment in those third-party tools.
Microsoft has had its own line of management products for a while, System Center, of course, and System Center 2012 is on the way, specifically Virtual Machine Manager 2012. Does that mean Microsoft won't have to rely on third parties as much?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, Microsoft has always been relatively good, and I'd almost say really good, at kind of fomenting that third-party ecosystem. You know, Microsoft is a very large company. It's a very large company. They can't do everything very well. You know, the old joke, or not even really joke, I guess the old reality has been that Hyper-V itself has always been a real bomb-proof and just a real solid hypervisor, but it's just the tools that we have with which to manage Hyper-V have not really been at the maturity level that we need. VMM 2012 is coming out. I've downloaded it at this point, and I haven't had an opportunity to actually install it and take a look at it. But viewing some of the What's New pages on the internet make me believe that a lot of the concerns, or at least some of the biggest concerns that people had with the old version of VMM, are going to get resolved with 2012. Now, that said, VMM 2012 is not going to solve all the problems that are out there. You know, there's still backup needs and other management needs and cloud-based needs and all the other stuff that maybe aren't necessarily the best for Microsoft to work on, but they can create points of extensibility for third parties to attach in to that system.
You mentioned that VMM 2012 looks like it will solve a lot of the things that people had issues with in VMM 2008. What are some of those problems that you hope to see fixed?
Well, and again, I want to asterisk this because I haven't clicked the buttons myself at this point. I'm just basing this off of what I'm reading in the press and what I see in the What's New pages. But what people want out of VMM is they want this kind of dead simple solution for managing their Hyper-V servers in a group, in a collection. You know, the Hyper-V manager, if you have just a single server, does a pretty reasonable job of, you know, powering on your VMs and powering them off and doing the very basics of the things that you need for VM administration. And moving to VMM, particularly with the previous version, there were just some idiosyncrasies in the way that it actually managed those VMs that made it somewhat challenging. I know that there is improved clustering support in VMM 2012. I honestly believe that Microsoft has got to get that clustering the whole process of clustering down pat and dead simple if Hyper-V is going to be very popular in the future. And I deeply hope that this new clustering support is going to support that. I do know that VMware 2012 now includes this whole notion of fabric resources. And this is Microsoft's attempt to sort of move Hyper-V into the forefront as a cloud-ready virtual platform. So the fabric resources, we essentially identify what the resources are that we want to put together to create that fabric, which ultimately creates the private cloud. So these are all new capabilities that are, you know, definitely at the forefront for VMware 2012. There's some new user self-service stuff that goes in there. There's just a slightly different management console that appears to be a little easier to use. And let's not forget also the integration with AppV, which is absolutely important for really bringing that sort of cloud computing mindset, that private cloud computing mindset, into the forefront.
The private cloud capabilities in VMM 2012 are probably the biggest thing that Microsoft's been touting so far. What do you think about this approach? I mean, when I think of it, I know that a lot of the organizations that are deploying Hyper-V now are deploying it in, you know, branch offices or their SMBs looking for a more affordable solution than VMware, and those companies aren't always the first that pop to mind when you think of organizations that are moving to the private cloud model.
You know, I tell people all the time, because you know that I travel all the time and I'm doing custom training courses for people on topics like Hyper-V, and what I try to tell people is that this whole notion of cloud, so the fact that our industry has referred to this whole thing as cloud has almost done us a disservice. Because when you think of cloud, it's really hard to pin your finger on exactly what that is. But the reality is that a private cloud, all the constituent components of a private cloud are kind of already in your environment today. You know, what is a private cloud? A private cloud is I have resources that I can pull from to create virtual machines and ultimately, you know, create workloads that sit on top of those virtual machines. And a private cloud means I don't care where those virtual machines reside and where the workloads reside either. And they can move about, they have high availability and they have resiliency and all that stuff. Now, all of these are really functions that already exist today via live migration and some of the load balancing and failover capabilities we've had even with the previous version of VMM and clustering. So, honestly, most environments are going towards private cloud or moving towards private cloud. And really the big difference is just a very slightly evolved way of thinking about how you manage your virtual environments.
And I know that VMM is only one part of the entire System Center suite, which I believe is due for a refresh this year. You know, are there any other capabilities that you'd like to see improved or added to Microsoft's overall management package?
You know, they've done a really good job. The config manager improvements that are coming out, there are some just unbelievable ways that you can layer out your operating systems so that you can deploy OSs and applications and user state and all that stuff in various layered approach. I tell all of my clients that if they don't have operations manager or one of its third-party equivalents, then they're they're also doing, you know, their clients or their customers a disservice, because without some sort of, you know, log management solution and almost an application performance management solution like Ops Manager, it's really hard, if not impossible, for you to understand what's going on underneath the covers across all of your systems.
Operations management is clearly an area of focus. You need look no further than what VMware is doing in that area, coming out with the vCenter operations product, which kind of combines some different management and monitoring functionalities that they've had in different products into a new one. It's kind of a validation of operations management and how important it is for IT organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the reality is that, you know, the most important activity in any virtual environment is performance management. Right? And when you squish 20, you know, physical computers into one, as VMs into one box, well, your goal there is to use all the available resources. And when you use those available resources, well, you have to manage and monitor their performance if you want to make sure that your user experience doesn't suffer. The second most important topic, and this is one that's actually growing, that we are only now realizing the need for this, and that's really capacity management. And they sometimes get commingled, but they are actually quite different activities. So performance management tells you whether or not your user experience is good or not, right? Are your machines performant? Capacity management is somewhat different because it looks at the resources that you have in comparison with the resources that your virtual machines demand.
That's going to become even more important as more people move to the private cloud model, keeping track of how much resources you have and are in use and will be in use, because a lot of times the provisioning of those resources will be out of IT's control. Greg Shields from Concentrated Technology, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Now here's Keith with the rest of this week's news.
Thanks, Colin. VMware just launched a new platform as a service called Cloud Foundry. It manages and provisions Java applications that run on Amazon Web Services. Developers can write applications using Spring for Java, Rails and Sinatra for Ruby, and Node.js. In other news, VMware posted a strong Q1 with revenues jumping 60%. CEO Paul Maritz and CFO Mark Peek credited the rise in private cloud adoption and the popularity of VMware's virtualization, cloud, and management products. VMware also saw revenues from the international markets rise 53%. Maritz said that was a result of the large multi-year marketing campaign. And that's all the time we have for now. I'm Keith Kessinger.
And I'm Colin Steele. Thanks for listening to This Week in Virtualization.